Is 2016 the year of the Libertarian Party? We'll explore that on this edition of On the Campaign Trail. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, June 2nd. So do you think that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, for that matter, are imploding? Will independent voters be looking for alternative presidential candidates to presumably Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? Might the alternative be the newly selected Libertarian Party ticket of Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, picked at last weekend's Libertarian Party convention? We will talk with our guest about all of these issues, and we will welcome your thoughts, your questions. Do you consider yourself to be a libertarian? What do you think about the Libertarian Party's chances in the fall elections? What do you think of the Gary Johnson-Bob Weld presidential ticket? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Nick Gillespie is our guest. He is the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV, co-author of the book The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Joy. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. You attended the Libertarian Party convention in Orlando last weekend. Tell us about the attitude, the atmosphere there. Are libertarians hopeful this year?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe from a wider perspective, the most amazing thing that was going around was that this year there was a request for 250 media credentials. And all of the major cable networks were there reporting from the floor. The previous time, there were about 15 press credentials requested. So there's definitely more interest, at least from the media. And I think also when you look at the number of stories that have come out about Gary Johnson and Will Weld, where you have two two-time former governors on a ticket now, comparing that to somebody like Donald Trump, who has no elective experience, and Hillary Clinton, who was a senator and a secretary of state, but also has massively high disapproval ratings. So it's clear that people are looking for an alternative, and it's, you know, the question is whether or not the libertarian alternative that they end up turning towards.
Yeah, well, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, chosen to be the party's presidential nominee, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld will serve as his running mate. What do these two have to offer?
I think it's less. Well, let me put it this way. There are two things. One is that they are an alternative. Historically, presidential candidates for major parties are not as disliked as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Trump's disapproval ratings are in the 60s. Hillary's are in the high 50s. They are they're not popular people. They have their adherents, for sure, who are very tenacious. But both of them are also coming out of parties that are pretty split. And so the first thing that Johnson and Weld offer up is any kind of alternative, that the Libertarian Party is on the ballot, will be on the ballot in all 50 states. It has something of a track record. But I think ultimately what Gary Johnson in particular and Weld as well, what they offer up is a different sensibility about politics. I mean, these guys are libertarian, but they are not gold bugs. They're not talking about private sidewalks or, you know, moving the world into space or something like that. Basically, their message is that the country should be socially liberal and fiscally conservative, that government needs to be socially liberal and fiscally conservative. So, you know, they're accepting of same-sex marriage. They want drug legalization. They want more open borders rather than closed borders. They want more free trade rather than less free trade. They are opposed to overseas interventions. They're pro-choice. They are pro-gun rights as well. And when you start lining up their kind of sensibilities, you actually see something that very much approaches where most people in the country are, which is that we generally are a live and let live type of nation, but we also recognize that the government is spending too much money and doing too many things, and we need to fix that.
Yeah. Well, and you pretty much answered what I was going to ask next, but talk a little bit more about how a libertarian is different than I don't know, a moderate Republican or, for that matter, a moderate Democrat?
Well, you know, the one of the differences, and it's funny that you put it in those terms, because these guys were moderate governors in the 90s and early 2000s. So they were Republicans. That type of Republican does not exist anymore. And I'd actually say at the national level, that type of Democrat does not exist anymore. So with the Republicans, just taking something like abortion, if you are at all in favor of pro-choice, you really cannot be a member of the Republican Party anymore. That is a litmus issue or a kind of ante that you're putting in. So the fact that they are that means they can't be a Republican and that there aren't Republicans like that. In terms of the Democrats, there are, on free trade, Hillary Clinton has come out against the Trans-Pacific Partnerships. In 2008, to outflank Obama to his left when she was running against him, she started trashing NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which her husband ended up successfully concluding early on in his presidency, and it was a big part of his campaign. There are no free trade Democrats left anymore. So the parties over the past 30 to 40 to 50 years even have sorted out in such a way that there really are very few moderates in either party. And ironically, the libertarians, who are often seen as these kind of, mad dreamers who are very extreme, are ending up looking more and more like they are the center of American politics right now.
Yeah. Some think that when you say libertarian, that, and you mentioned that this presidential ticket is not a ticket that's going to privatize sidewalks. But what about? It was smaller government, more free market solutions. Therefore, privatization is a big plank of the Libertarian Party platform. Is that right?
Yes. Small. Well, but this is and Johnson ran as the Libertarian Party ticket. Presidential candidate in 2012, and he talked about making, balancing the budget within a few years. And that would require either a massive tax hike, which still wouldn't cover it, or cutting spending. But one of the ways that, to put these things in perspective, we spend about somewhere between $600 billion, $700 billion on defense a year. All told, we spend about $750 billion on welfare programs, not counting Medicare or Medicaid. And these are expenditures that need to be looked at, and they need to be reduced, and also need to be sorted out for effectiveness. When you look at the entitlement spending, almost two-thirds or more than two-thirds of federal spending is on autopilot because it goes directly into things like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. They're unsustainable, and they all, everybody knows this, and it's a question of when are we going to have the conversation about what do we cut and what do we keep. And I think we are in a moment now where people are anxious about all of this stuff, but we also realize every day that we let it go, it gets worse and worse because this is the problem with debt. So it is true that they will be talking about cutting stuff. I don't know that they have come up with specific proposals right now, but that will be the real test of whether or not their appeal extends to something beyond simply being an alternative to Trump or Clinton.
So at the convention, I understand that Johnson took a few shots at the presumed Republican nominee, Donald Trump, calling his immigration policies just racist. Other libertarians took issue with Trump's positions on international trade and national security. Why are libertarians a better choice than Donald Trump?
Well, there's two ways to answer that. And one is, and again, I say this, I'm not a spokesman for Johnson. I expect to vote for him, but I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party. One is the experience, in a Johnson and Wall ticket, you actually have people who, even more than Hillary Clinton, who has a very good resume for president, but you have people who actually did the management executive positions that the presidency calls for. And they have track records of success in their state. But then the other one is that vision of America. One of the things that Johnson has stressed is that it is basically nuts to, Donald Trump has pledged to, forcibly remove 12 million, by his count, illegal immigrants and their children who may oftentimes be U.S. citizens. And that the only way to actually make that happen is to have the government reach into virtually every aspect of our lives to root out who is here legally and who is here illegally. And, you know, that is a deeply, it should be a deeply disturbing concept to, I think, to anybody in America, but especially people who believe in limited government and letting people live their lives.
We'll pick up on this after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we will welcome your questions and thoughts about Libertarian Party politics with our guest Nick Gillespie, who is the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV, co-author of the book The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about Libertarian Party politics during this edition of On the Campaign Trail. Our guest is Nick Gillespie. He's editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV and co-author of the book, The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. He is weighing in on the selection of Gary Johnson and Bill Weld as the Libertarian Party's presidential ticket selected at last weekend's convention. And we're talking about why he says and others say that 2016 could be the year that the libertarian movement gets hot. And we are welcoming your questions, your reactions. What do you think of this Gary Johnson, Bob Weld presidential ticket? Could you see yourself voting for that ticket? Do you consider yourself to be a libertarian? How do you feel about the Libertarian Party's chances in the fall elections? Let us know what you think and what questions you have. Jake on Facebook says this about Gary Johnson. Finally, someone with integrity. This will be the first year I am voting for someone instead of against. So how many people do you think, percentage-wise, are in Jake's corner, Nick Gillespie?
You know, that's a fantastic question because all of the polls at this point, kind of a national poll, show Trump and Hillary Clinton both getting about 40 in the low 40s of the vote. But then when you add Gary Johnson, and this actually a couple of months ago, Monmouth University had a poll where it was something like Hillary got 40-something, Trump got 30-something, and Johnson got 10%, and that was before he was the candidate, and it was mostly because he was another name on the ballot, I think. I don't think he has very big name recognition, but he's been in a couple of other polls that show him at around 10 or 12% nationally in a three-way race. You know, the early polls almost always overstate, like, the third name. But I think that what we are witnessing here, and this is, I'm less interested in partisan politics or electoral politics than long-term trends, and that what has been happening to the major parties over the past 40 years, and this is really the beginning point of the book that I wrote with Matt Welch, is more and more people have been leaving the Republican and Democratic parties because they don't feel represented by them anymore. As the parties have gotten more dogmatic and more orthodox, there are fewer people who find homes there, and they also don't want to be identified as a Democrat or a Republican, just as we have less brand loyalty when it comes to things like buying cars. We have less brand loyalty when it comes to politics. And, you know, people are dissatisfied with the choices, so they're looking for some kind of plausible alternative. And that's really where, you know, that is one of the reasons not only, you know, why that there's such high disapproval ratings for the presidential candidates of the Democrats and Republicans, but that people are really looking at libertarians this time around.
Just before our news break, we were talking about some of the libertarian criticism of Donald Trump. How do libertarians feel about Hillary Clinton?
You know, negatively. When it lines up, and again, this is, you know, because libertarians are socially liberal and fiscally responsible or fiscally conservative, they have a lot of problems. So Hillary Clinton is very much against gun rights, which libertarians tend to be strong on. They agree with her on abortion rights, but then on things like free trade, she's terrible. She has come out as an anti-free trader. Libertarians like free trade. Probably the biggest difference is that she is a very strong proponent of overseas intervention and military intervention in general. She voted for the Iraq War. She continues to say that the U.S. intervention in Libya, during which she was Secretary of State, was a success and that it was well planned and well executed. And it's not at all clear that it was our business to be there at all in the, you know, in the way that we were. And she's a huge proponent of the national surveillance state. She's called people like Edward Snowden a traitor and you know, that he has to be brought home and see court. Libertarians tend to have a different view of that, of the idea that the government should be surveilling as much of our everyday life as Hillary Clinton seems to be comfortable with.
I saw an article where Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson was saying this week that he agrees with 73% of what Bernie Sanders has to say. So he's trying to court the Sanders voter. Should Hillary Clinton get the nomination?
Well, you know, I mean, and Hillary is the presumptive nominee. I mean, I don't think that's going to change. But, yeah, Johnson tells people to go to a site called isidewith.com where you take a quiz and it will show you, you know, who, based on those answers, who do you agree with most of the time? And I think what that is coming down to is that when you look at a series of questions like that, when you throw in things like foreign policy, should the U.S. be militarily involved overseas, things like drug legalization. Gary Johnson is a proponent of pot legalization, a variety of social issues. You know, are you pro-choice? You know, then you actually start to see interesting areas of agreement across or independent of kind of party affiliations. And that, I think, is one of the things that people find refreshing to a certain degree about libertarians is that they are not, you know, I mean, from a libertarian perspective, it makes total sense that you would be for drug legalization, against overseas wars, and for free trade. From a Republican position or a Democratic position, those seem to be hopelessly confused ideas. So it's, you know, this is where we are coming to a point where I think the hard left and the hard right, or, you know, liberals and conservatives, it's starting to seem as if they're the ones who are making less and less kind of coherent sense. For instance, you know, with somebody like Bernie Sanders, and this is a big point of disagreement, he and Hillary Clinton both they hate the sharing economy. They hate Uber and Airbnb, and they rail against it whenever they have a chance. For most people, and certainly most libertarians, you know, services like Uber and Airbnb represent one of the bright spots in an otherwise kind of dark economy. They're innovative. They actually deliver services for people. They give jobs to people. And so that's an interesting point of tension, and they're forward-looking. Whereas Sanders and more so than Clinton, but also Clinton, tend to look backwards when it's in terms of labor agreements. They want things like higher minimum wages. They want more union jobs. They want old industrial jobs, and, you know, which are not coming back. So that's Sanders and Johnson have interesting points of overlap, and then sharp differences as well.
Yeah. I would think that there's a big difference when it comes to health care, Sanders being a proponent of Medicare for All or single government payer health care. What do libertarians want when it comes to health care?
You know, they will say, and again, I'm not exactly sure of Johnson's, they'll say what we really need is a free market in health care like we have in hamburgers, and that once we actually had market signals working properly and you get rid of barriers to entry, that you would have a wide and varied and kind of magnificent market in healthcare that would be affordable for all, and there would be very good care and there would be less good care, but that was affordable. And the other thing that to the extent that the government starts dictating either what services a provider must give or what things an individual must do, particularly the individual mandate, the idea that you have to buy insurance, that's really problematic for libertarians. But one of the things that is, I think, Johnson's strong suit is that, I don't know that these terms are immediately clear, but he's not a foundationalist in the sense he is not a person who is going to say, okay, the minute I get in, I want to tear up the government and we're going to start from year zero and build up. He's directional, and I think this is the version of libertarianism that makes sense to most people, which is that we know most Americans, and polls show this, most Americans agree that government is doing too many things that individuals and businesses should be doing. Most people say government is spending more, more than it should because of debt issues. And what Johnson is about is not necessarily a radical overhaul where tomorrow we cut everything by 50%, but it's that we start moving back in the direction that we know that we should be going. So it's, you know, he was a moderate Republican. He is a moderate libertarian in very ways. And, you know, that's probably what people would find more appealing, particularly at the presidential level.
We welcome your questions about Libertarian Party positions on the issues, your own views on whether you would consider voting for the Libertarian Party ticket of Gary Johnson and Bob Weld, selected over the weekend at the Libertarian Party convention. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sergio in Superior is with us. Hi, Sergio.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, my question is, why does it seem like, you already mentioned this, but libertarian seems more for drug legalization, specifically cannabis. Why does it seem that the Republican Party is afraid of cannabis legalization and with the success we've seen in the four states that have already legalized it?
Yeah, there's no question that, a basic kind of tenet of libertarianism is that you own your body and you should be allowed to, as long as you're not hurting other people, you should be able to, smoke pot or use other drugs if you want to. So it's totally consistent that libertarians are interested in pot legalization. And Johnson himself, he's a teetotaler when it comes to booze, but he has some pain issues and he's used marijuana over the years to help with that. And he ran a company in Colorado that branded and kind of certified the cannabis products in terms of the amount of THC and whatnot. But when it comes to Republicans being against it, I mean, this is just where social conservatism is, is a philosophy of saying no to the next thing. I mean, that is the point. And so, while we don't have pot legalization now, why would we ever want it? And only bad things could happen. Slowly, conservatives and Republicans get pulled into the future. But generally speaking, they do have to be pulled into the future, particularly on social issues. So it's a similar thing with gay marriage, I think, or same-sex marriage, where if Republicans claim to be the party of the individual and of individual rights and of limited government, you would think that they would be in favor of these things because these are about limiting the government's powers and increasing individuals' powers. But, in fact, it's really about social conservatism.
Thanks, Sergio, for the call. John from Decorah, Iowa asks, what is keeping libertarians from sacrificing the environment on the altar of free trade? I like a lot of things about libertarians, but don't they get that we have to save this planet?
There are a bunch of answers to that. One is that free trade does not despoil the globe, and in fact, we're in an era of increased free trade, and globalization, which has lifted a billion people out of extreme poverty, according to the UN, over the past 20 years or so. But it's also helped to reforest the planet. We have more trees on the planet than we did 20 years ago in countries like the U.S. and elsewhere. Once you reach a certain level of economic activity, you actually countries or people always start preserving the environment in a way that they did not. And if you go back and you look at the difference, say, between East Germany and West Germany, West Germany was a wealthy country. It had strong environmental safeguards. East Germany was literally a dumping ground for garbage from Western Europe because that's the only thing that they could get money for. So I think there's a very strong positive correlation between free trade and capitalism and preserving the economy, preserving the environment. In terms of things like global warming, I think there's a lot of skepticism, not that it is happening or that it is a concern, but rather that the solutions that get put forward, such as banning carbon fuels in the developing world would either work or are fair, and that the better solution is to allow for quicker economic development and then figure out ways to ameliorate or to mitigate bad environmental problems.
Gary on Facebook says, the only alternative to Trump is Hillary. If you are not willing to give one of them a chance and want to cast a protest vote or a spoiler vote, that person has not emerged yet. I just don't see anyone yet who would have the impact of Ross Perot or Ralph Nader. What are your thoughts on that, Nick?
You know, Ross Perot, definitely Ross Perot is the high water mark of an independent candidate. In the past 50 years or so, he got 19% of the vote in 1992. Nader, not so much. I mean, Nader had a massive influence in the 2000 election, but his numbers were actually quite low. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, you know, people either like Gary Johnson or they don't, and he's just started. But again, to me, the real important thing here is that what the American people are signaling by evacuating the political parties, by saying when pollsters call and say, which party do you identify with? Not necessarily which one are you registered with, not necessarily who do you vote, which party you vote for all the time, but who do you identify with? For the Democrats, it's at 29% now, which is a historic low. For Republicans, it's 26%, which is just 1 point higher than a historic low. And these are numbers Gallup has been cultivating since for 40 years. People are sick and tired of the major parties. The two candidates that they are putting forward, not surprisingly, have historically high disapproval ratings. And I think, for me, the really positive sign of this election is that people are saying no. They're withholding their approval. It is almost certain that either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton will be the next president. But it matters if they get into office with a strong mandate or they barely squeak in, because I think what both the Republicans and the Democrats need to do is to moderate many of their positions. They're either extreme on social issues or on immigration, or they're extreme on being anti-free market and big into regulations or national security issues. And so for me, the real import of this is less whether or not Johnson ends up being president, and it's more about the conversation that I think we're going to be having over the next 6 months.
Stuart emails, I am a Bernie Sanders supporter first and foremost. If I thought the Libertarian ticket could win, I would vote for them over Hillary Clinton. We have just a couple of minutes before news break. Nick, do you see the Johnson-Weld ticket pulling more votes from Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Yeah, it's fascinating because typically it is considered that Libertarian candidates will pull more from Republicans than Democrats. But in the past several recent elections in Virginia, there was a very high-yield Libertarian candidate named Robert Sarvis who ran for governor and senator. And most of the exit polling there, to the extent it was done, showed that he was taking more votes from the Democratic candidates than the Republican ones. And I think in this question, there's something to that, because what a lot of Sanders voters, if they're not actually hardcore socialists, but more they want an alternative. They're kind of angry in the same way, that Donald Trump offered a alternative to the establishment Republican. I think that there's a lot of potential, particularly among young voters, because Johnson is very forward-looking, he's very optimistic, and the basic message that he's saying is one that your lives matter, and that you should have more freedom and more opportunities to live the way you want to. Where he and where Bernie Sanders get there is a little bit different, but that overall appeal might actually be quite compelling to many disgruntled Sanders people.
Our guest is Nick Gillespie. He's editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV, co-author of the book, The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. Talking with us about Libertarian Party politics. The Libertarian Party held its convention this past weekend. They chose former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson as their presidential nominee. Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld was was chosen as the VP running mate. We're talking about this ticket and what it has to offer and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. During this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we are taking a look at Libertarian Party politics and positions with Nick Gillespie, who is the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV and co-author of the book, The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. In his In Reason.com's Hit and Run blog, Nick Gillespie wrote that there ain't no party like the Libertarian Party, and this could be the year it gets hot. He says that the Libertarian Party is more serious and in touch with America than the Democrats and the Republicans. And we wonder if you agree and what you think about the presidential ticket picked by Libertarian Party activists during their convention over the weekend, Gary Johnson and Bob Weld, the presidential ticket for the Libertarian Party. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Nick, talk a little bit more about why you say this could be the year that the Libertarian Party gets hot.
What I mean by that is that for the first time, people are actively searching for an alternative to the Republicans and Democrats, both party identification, but also specific kind of likability or approval ratings of the presumptive nominees, Donald Trump for the Republicans, Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. These are at historic lows. One of my theories excuse me, as we've been trying for a number of years now to actually enter the 21st century politically. We've done it economically. We've done it culturally. We have exciting new ways of doing business. We are more comfortable with things like racial and ethnic difference, same-sex marriage, drug legalization. But our politics have not caught up to that, and we are still living in a world that is controlled by 20th century political institutions and practices that just don't make sense anymore. And so, for instance, on a very big ticket item, we have old age entitlement programs, Medicare and Social Security, that were set up to help older people in a very different America where to be old meant that you were poor. That is no longer the case, and these programs are also unsustainable because they're built upon the idea that there are many more people paying in than there are beneficiaries. That's changed because of demographics, and it's bankrupting the country. And we need to confront this, and I think this is why people are leaving the Democratic and Republican parties, because they don't want to confront it. They're looking for an alternative, and when you start to look at what libertarians have to offer, it is basically, it is not an uncaring or anarchistic world of all against all. It's rather, it's a vision of a socially tolerant, fiscally responsible America where government does fewer things, but does them well and lets people get on with how they want to live their lives.
Amy in Lancaster is with us. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I understand you are a libertarian, or you're a millennial libertarian.
Yes, I'm a millennial, and I align with the Libertarian Party, and I guess I just have a comment on what's going on with the party in this election, especially in terms of millennials. And what some people don't realize is that the millennial generation is on track to be larger than the baby boomers. Now, we're not all of voting age yet, but eventually we will be. And so many of us align with libertarians, whether we know it or not, because of the social issues that were talked about. And I just think that if the party can reach millennials where they are, which is social media, it can really gain some serious ground, especially in this election where many are aligning with Bernie Sanders, who's doing a good job with social media, but obviously probably won't make the nomination. So if you can capture them where the millennials are, I think that the party has a real serious chance, especially going into the future when all of us become a voting age.
And as a matter of fact, the millennial generation, I guess, as you were saying, is bigger than the baby boom generation right now. Not all millennials are legal to vote, but their impact will be significant, and it will be similar to the way that the baby boom generation kind of controlled American politics and culture for, you know, a good 25, 30 years. It's fascinating to me, too, how old this is. Another thing to think about in this election and this idea that, you know, we're kind of in overtime for the 20th century in the 21st. This is a very old bunch of people who are running for president: Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. Gary Johnson is 63, so he's, you know, about 6 or 7 years younger than, or 5 or 6 years younger than Trump and Clinton, but also no spring chicken. And but he's the only one, I think, who is actually talking about where Americans are now. I do think millennials, you know, millennials are, they don't have the baggage. I'm a baby boomer. They don't have the baggage that a lot of baby boomers have. They don't have the baggage of history of the Cold War. They're freed up to actually want to live a life where their work expresses who they are, and they have more kind of fluid relationships in lots of different ways. And they really do demand a different set of politics because they're living in a very different world than those of us who grew up in the 20th century did.
Yeah, so millennials don't want investment the way it is now into Medicare and Social Security?
Well, you know, reason actually, a couple of years ago we did an extensive poll in 2014 of millennials, and to be charitable, they are, like the rest of us, confused. So on a certain level, they don't want to be subjected to things like paying into Medicare that they won't get out of, but they also are worried about their grandparents. So they're generous to a fault, and by the same token, they are looking for new ways to kind of do things, because you know they're the generation that is going to be part of the gig economy, whether we like it or not, and the sharing economy. And they also want work that expresses their values in a way that was only a dream, I think, for many people, certainly born in the teens and 20s. And they recognize that entitlements are not going to be there for them. They don't want to throw anybody out on the street, but they are calling for a different system by which we help people who need help, but don't use that to give money to people who don't necessarily need it, or in a way that sucks up the economy.
Yeah. So why didn't people who align with the Libertarian Party vote for Rand Paul?
Well, I think they, you know, first off, a lot of them are not Republican, and Rand Paul, while he was, there's no question, he was the most Libertarian leaning major party candidate in forever. He was on a number of social issues. He is anti-abortion. He kind of moved around a lot on immigration and seemed to be, for a while at least, part of the Republican kind of antagonistic towards immigration. And he got overwhelmed by Donald Trump as well, almost all of the other candidates did. A year ago, 18 months ago, Rand Paul was leading most national polls of Republican candidates, and then that all went away. But I think it was a partly the Trump phenomenon within the Republican primaries, and then also the fact that Libertarians and Republicans, there's some overlap, but there's a lot of, there's a lot of distance there, too.
Barb in Sister Bay is with us. Hello, Barb.
Hi. Thanks for your show. It's great. I have a comment. There was a candidate running, a young man from Wisconsin. He was Libertarian, and his version of pro-choice was to leave it up to the states to decide. And, of course, in a state like Wisconsin or Ohio, there would be no pro-choice. So you're talking about Libertarians being pro-choice, and I haven't seen that. I've seen also that some believe that if the individual begins at conception, and if the individual begins at conception, they are anti-abortion. And the other question I have is, so can you clear that up for me? That's my question. And the other is, do you have any standout female candidates that are running as Libertarians? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Barb.
Thanks. There are pro-life libertarians. It's probably 30% of libertarians who believe that life begins at conception, or that personhood begins and legal rights begin very early in a pregnancy. Johnson and Weld are not that type of person, but the other anybody who is also running on a platform saying that the state will get to decide whether or not a woman has a right to an abortion, that's contravened by federal law. Going back to Roe versus Wade, a state can't do that. And in fact, there are a number of major court cases being settled now over states basically trying to regulate abortion out of existence in Texas and elsewhere. And there's almost no chance that they will be ruled in a way that allows a state to make it so onerous for a woman to get an abortion that all abortion clinics are gone or it becomes effectively illegal. So there's that. And there is a diversity of opinion within the Libertarian Party about abortion. But I do know also that Johnson supports basically what's been the status quo in America for the past 50 years almost of women having maximum rights to get an abortion in the first trimester. Then the state has an interest, and as you get closer to the end of a pregnancy, you know, the state has more. There's more restrictions on abortion rights.
Randall, are there any women libertarians?
I think a lot of libertarian gatherings often are, you know, 80% men and 20% women. So a lot of libertarians ask, are there any libertarian women? There were a number of vice presidential candidates who were running, and there have been strong candidates right now. But I mean, this what we're looking at is, you know, at the national level. The main candidates were male, and you know, and that's where we are with Johnson and Weld at the top of the ticket.
I want to close with an email from Randall, who says, "I don't trust Clinton, and Trump is a little too crazy. If the libertarians could get just 25% of the votes, maybe the main parties would realize they need to put somebody in there worth voting for." Final minute for you, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, that is the way that political change happens. You know, for a variety of reasons, we always have two dominant parties in America. And the question is, do those parties moderate and extend themselves to cover more Americans or rather less Americans? And what we have witnessed over the past 25 or more years is the parties getting more rigid and more kind of concentrated in their points of view, so that there really are very few conservative Democrats or liberal Republicans left. And I think what this election might help do is to show that there's a whole other America out there that is socially liberal, fiscally conservative, and that's the way forward, not this kind of rigid right-wing, left-wing divide.
Thank you so much for being with us. Nick Gillespie is editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV and co-author of the book The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. Thank you to producers Bill Martins, Kai Brito, Naija Ellison, and Brianne Shasso. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.